Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
For surely the word of the Lord comes to my people. There is pain at the threshold, but I would say to you that weeping endures through the night, but joy is coming in your morning. But I have brought you to a special place of crossing over. I've brought you to a place that is a borderline between what was and what is to come. And I've called you to be strong and bold in crossing through rivers of pain, difficulty, moments of fire, moments of heartbreak. And the Lord would say, I am with you in the moments of heartbreak. I'm with you in the fire. And I have not forsaken you. And the enemy would try to convince you that the reason you are hurting and the reason there is opposition is because you have done something wrong. But I would say it is only because I have brought you to a threshold and you are crossing over into something brand new. So rejoice, my people, and understand you won't die from tears. Go ahead and cry when you need to cry. Go ahead and weep when you need to weep. And look around, and if you're not weeping, weep with those who do weep. Because together I'm calling you to cross through the valley of tears. To cross over a line of demarcation into a new place of joy and mission and purpose that I have for you. For did you think it would come without a price? Did you think it would come without cost? For though I have paid the price, yet you will shed tears in the process of pursuing my perfection and my will. And yet, I promise you, in the weeping of the night, there will come a morning joy, and you will laugh, and you will dance, and you will rejoice when you will see. Are you not like a woman pregnant? Are you not like a woman in the throes of childbirth that weeps as she crosses over into a brand new season? And I would say that as you weep, you are crossing over into a brand new season of new life and new purpose. And that which you felt was a burden, the Lord would say, now I say to you, this is a gift. Enter now into the gift that I am giving you now. Enter now into the purpose that is being birthed into your life. For my hand is upon you. I have not forgotten you. I will not leave you halfway through the process. I will bring my full purpose into your life. So rejoice and weep when you need to, but know that joy is coming in the morning, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah.
God brought to remembrance something that I was doing earlier this week. Me and someone else who works on staff here, we were changing a projector bulb. And we took the projector down and we didn't know how to do it. You have to unscrew some stuff and you have to reveal the area where the bulb goes in. And we couldn't find it, so we were struggling and you know, we didn't want to break it, and we thought, is this a button? Is this? And we were going at it, and I just remember something that I've been told over and over in my life again. And that is that if you're forcing it, you're doing it wrong. And I just feel like the Lord is looking down on some of his children, and during worship we're just trying so hard to reach for it. God, just what is it? Help me, God, just bring it down on me. And the Lord would say that you don't have to force it. You don't have to force it. If you're struggling, just relax. Just relax and let my presence come and let my presence reignite and let my presence come do something transformative in your life. Stop trying. Stop performing. And just allow me to come in. Just say, God, I'm tired. God, I'm weary. God, I need you. Because the Lord says, come to me if you're weary. So Father God, we just come to you. We come to you, we lift our hands, and we say we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it by performing, God. We just need your presence in our lives. We need your power in our lives, God. And we ask you to come, God. So for the rest of the service, just allow him to speak. Allow his presence to come. Allow his ease to come into your life. And he will do a work. He will answer that question that you've been having. And he will do it by his power and not by your might, says Jesus.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
We're going to receive a second offering. It's a special offering for the work of Hope for Justice. And I'm going to introduce somebody to you now that you will never forget. Look right at me. You will never forget the words that you hear today. It's going to be something that's really going to impact your heart. And I'm so glad that Ben Cooley is here with us today. Let me introduce him properly to you. Ben Cooley is the CEO of Hope for Justice, an organization with a multidisciplinary approach to ending human slavery. Since Hope for Justice was established in 2008, Ben has overseen its growth in 6 offices on 3 continents. He leads a growing team of professionals working in partnership with law enforcement and pioneering model anti-trafficking programs in the United States, in Britain, in Cambodia, and in Norway. And today, Ben is being accompanied by his friend and my new friend, Dave Rogers, who, Dave, would you just stand, please? Dave spent his career working for the FBI and serving our nation. He now works with Ben in the work of Hope for Justice. Ben's an incredible communicator and is invited to encourage and inspire audiences around the world to take hold of their own potential to shape society for the better. He has a family, a beautiful family. They live in the UK. And this weekend, I've just gotten to know Ben, and he's already trying to borrow money from me. It's really funny. No, we're already close. We are friends now and brothers, and you are going to love this man. I want you to welcome the CEO of Hope for Justice, Ben Cooley. Ben, come on. Thank you for coming, brother.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Oh, it's awesome to be here. Awesome to be here. And I want to say I had a great day yesterday with Pastor Dave. We went to the beach. And you have something we don't have in England, something called the sun. Obviously, I'm not meaning Jesus. I'm meaning actually physically the sun. We don't see that. I've never heard of something called sunburned. It doesn't really happen in England. We get rain. Now, you won't know what that is, but that's water that it comes. I can't explain it, but it comes down from this. There's something called. It doesn't matter. But anyway, God bless you. And it was just great to spend the day with your pastor. And I want to say this. You have a great pastor because your pastor is a man of integrity. And I believe that that's one of the greatest credentials a pastor can have is integrity. And I want to honor him for his vision, for his years of service. You know, it takes a lot to build a church, and it takes a lot to be a leader. And I just want to say you're an outstanding man of God, and I look up to you, and I honor you, and I want to thank you, you and your wife, for what you have done to build God's house. So I'm from England. Don't hold that against me. I don't know what your thoughts are of English people, but I want you to know I'm sorry if we did some bad stuff. My bad, you know, gosh, you celebrate July the 4th, I cry on that day. And then every time I see, like, you drinking tea, like iced tea, it's every time it offends me, because you shouldn't really drink it like that. I mean, I don't want to tell you what to do, but it's nasty. And it's from the devil. There I said it. Let's pray. Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. So great to be here with my U.S. director, who was such a pivotal point, person in the fight against human trafficking nationally and internationally. and worked for the FBI and was one of the key voices. In fact, can I share this one story? In staff, there's something called the Trafficking in Persons Report. I don't know if any of you have heard that. But in staff, he's just joined. Dave is a great friend of mine, and for years, actually, and has just joined our staff last month. And this is his first trip with me, so pray for him. He's hanging out with a British guy for, you know, I'm telling him how to spell the words correctly and stuff like that. He was in the staff meeting and they were going, you know, so have you, Dave, have you heard of the Trafficking in Persons Report? And, you know, the American, and do you know, are you aware? He said, well, I should be aware, I wrote it. So, yeah. So, some of it, anyway. But he is such a key player and we feel so privileged that he's come on site to help fight human trafficking and slavery here in the United States. Come on! I love doing it. It's amazing. Oh, I'm so excited. So I live in England. I have a wife. I've been married for 12 years. I know some of you are thinking that I don't look old enough to be married for 12 years. I was a child bride. My wife is older than me, but I shouldn't say that. Stop saying that. She's 9 years older than me. I said it. I know. I was stolen. No, it's just I walked into church and she went, wow. In my dreams, that's how it went. But reality was, I was like, hey, do you want to date me? No. Do you want to date me? No. Please? No. Oh, Jesus told me. No. You got to try it sometimes, right? I mean, you got to use the Jesus card occasionally. The Lord told me. You shouldn't really ever say that. I'm just saying, any young people, don't say the Lord told me that we're going to get married. It is a nasty way of using God thing, but it works. So anyway, no, I'm just saying it did work for me. I totally nailed it. And she was famous and on television. She was an actress. And when we used to walk down when we were dating, that people used to go, oh my gosh, are you that girl from the TV? And I would feel like $1 million and... We have two kids. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old and two girls. They are the most beautiful girls in the world. I know that's going to break your heart because some of you are thinking, my girls are the most beautiful world. But like I said it, and it's true, and so I'm sorry. We'll offer counseling or something like that, you know. Don't be disappointed, and I know comparison is the thief of all joy. I'm with you, man. Well, I'm not with you because my kids are better, but anyway. So I head up Hope for Justice. I started it, I started it when I, 7 years ago. I was 26 years old. I heard about the issue of human trafficking. I'm a local church boy. I was part of a church that, my mom and dad helped start a church and it grew quite quickly to 800-900. And in England, that's what we call a miracle. I was always a local church guy and I went to this event to help out, and I heard about the 1.2 million children a year are sold, 2 children every minute. And I walked out of that building that night, and I thought, wow, if that was my daughter, I'd do something. And it was the next thought that changed the course of my life. They are someone's daughter. I should do something. So I did what any young, passionate 26-year-old would do. I booked the NEC Arena in Birmingham, England, to tell the church about it. And we got 5,884 people to our first event. And we just saw a move of God, and it now, if you like fast forward like 7 years, we're now in 6 countries and got over 100 staff and seeing hundreds of people rescued and just seeing people being restored. And I just see the great power of God, the relentless pursuit that he has for the poor and the weak and the marginalized. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole world is Psalm 72, for he will deliver the needy and those that are trapped in violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. You know, if there's anything you doubt about our God loves people. He loves, you shouldn't doubt this, because he loves the poor and the weak and the marginalized. He has a relentless pursuit for them, and so should we as the church. You know what I love about the church? I love this about the church, is the church was never meant to be in maintenance mode. Hello. Oh, that'll preach. I was just trying my American preaching thing. I've seen it on God TV. I just thought I might try it. That'll preach. Can I get a witness? Amen. But the church was never meant to be in maintenance mode. I'm just saying, you know, it was never meant to be about roaches. It's never meant to be about who's on which, whether the flower stands or the building. In fact, Jesus says, like, where the church should be positioned, right at the gates of hell. Oh, I love that, right? I mean, it's not meant to be like away, like this, like a little picnic and this, like, little, oh, yeah, let's sit at the back of the stage having a little picnic. No, it says we were meant to be at the gates of hell. And do you know what I love about the church? Is that we have the authority to bash down the gates of hell, to get into the darkness and bring the hope and the light that is found in Jesus Christ. Come on, can I get a witness? Amen. I do declare right now, Jesus. You know, boom, I received that. Now, do it now. Anyway, so I'm going off time now. I hope I'm going to get it back into time. I'm going to get in the zone. But, like, I was at this conference. Can I just share this quickly? I'm sorry. If I go over 5 minutes, please forgive me. But I went to this conference where this speaker was, like, this proper, like, lying on the floor laughing thing. And I'm not that guy. I'm, as you can probably see. And so I like, she was going, boom, boom. And, I've always wanted to try it, see what happens. Cool. Anyway, Mike, I cued you to do something. You were meant to go, oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, Mike, you've just let everyone down, and now I don't feel like I'm a real, you know, charismatic preacher. Anyway, so I'm here to bring a message, and, like, I hope that we can laugh through this message, because I believe, you know, joy is intrinsically linked to strength. And that church is meant to be one of the most enjoyable experiences. Church is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. And I've got a message, and, you know, we have so many highs at Hope for Justice. We have so many high points. You know, we get, I mean, we've rescued three children as young as 3 months old. I mean, we've rescued, you know, families, men, women, children from some of the most hideous acts against humanity. You know, I remember we rescued this group of nine, and eight of which were children. And, like, I don't go out on the rescues now, but I used to on regular occurrence. And I remember walking into this room and this family that had just been rescued. And I walked in and I could smell the poverty. You know, you smell it was just in the air. And I looked at these that just got out of this situation. And, like, I was like, oh my gosh, what can we do? What can I do? And they said, hey, I think they need feeding. Let's feed them. So I went to the supermarket. I went to the version of, Walmart. And I was like, now they say don't go shopping when you're hungry. Don't go shopping when you just rescue kids, because you're like, yes, they can. More, Lord, in Jesus' name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Come on. More, Lord. I receive it. Now. Boom. Boom. Now. Anyway, so I was like, I was filling it. Hallelujah. I do declare. So, like, I was filling it. I took all the food in, and I put it on the table. And, like, these people that were being exploited, I thought that they would run up to the table and eat. And they didn't. And they were sat there, and the kids were sat there with the three-year-old, five-year-old was sat with their backs against the wall, not for minutes, but for hours. Why? Because they had their hope robbed from them. And I said to my team, why aren't they eating? Why aren't they eating? They must be hungry. They said, Ben, every night, these nine people would be sat on the floor around the table while the trafficker and his family would be eating. And they would eat and they would laugh and they would joke about their day. And once they finished their food, they would literally throw the scraps of the food onto the floor for these children to eat like animals. So little was the food that the baby, the three-month baby, was malnourished. The mother had ran out of milk. You know, our team went to see them just a few weeks after that. And the children were running around. The teenagers that were being abused had baked a cake for our team to say thank you for giving us our freedom. The baby had big chubby cheeks. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing what we get to do as the church. Oh, we weren't meant to be about just singing songs. But we're the rescue arm of Jesus Christ for a broken world that needs the hope, I tell you. But you know, here's the thing. I believe that, like, you know, that we have highs and we celebrate the highs, and social media celebrates the highs. We all think that leaders go through all the best experiences, but I want you to know that actually, you know, there's much as there's highs, there's lows in life. And I want to talk about this today because I want to encourage you as the church to keep on keeping on, to go again. You know, if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings 19. And this is a story about Elijah, and Elijah is one of my heroes. If I just tell the story before this scripture, here's Elijah sees the great miracle of God. And I don't know if you've seen miracles in your life. I've seen miracles in mine. But this is a moment where I think it's an epic moment, right? Where he's Elijah versus the other prophets. The good versus the bad. And like, the baddies, like, they were like, they got their sticks together and they were like, they said, hey, our God is the real God. And Elijah's going, no, he ain't. They're going, yeah, he is. Like, this is not the New King James Version. This is like the new Ben Cooley version. And they're like, our God is the most powerful. And Elijah's going, no, my God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and he's the last. He's all sufficient. Our God is the true God. He's the great I am. And like, he is the, and they go fight. Well, let's do like a little competition. Let's get the sticks and let's see whose God sets it on fire. And so they get like, they get the sticks. It's not probably logs, whatever. You know, it's wood. And they go, come on, do it. Now. Boom. Now. Like nothing happens because, you know, that God isn't a real God. And then Elijah, he gets the sticks and like the wood and logs. And he pours water over them. Now, you might not know what water is because that's, you're in a drought time, right? Like that, it's you can kind of see through it. And it like, anyway, so he put, I know it's a waste, so don't like, it's Elijah, he did it, not me. He poured it over and he said, right, do it, boom. And the fire comes, right? And like, can you imagine it? Let's just say that. On this moment, like fire came down from heaven. Let's see if I can do it right now. I mean, it would be so awesome if that happened, and also the carpet would burn, and we would probably have to leave the building, and that would be the message over. But it would be an internet sensation, and I would be famous on YouTube and stuff. So, like, he does it, and he's like, fire comes down. And like, they must be all like, oh my gosh, that he's right. And then Elijah, let's just skip over this bit. He kills them all. And then, cool. And then we get into 1 Kings 19. And it says, now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, the fire and the killing. And he said, and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah, may the gods deal with me, be ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to the Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under the broom bush and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. I've had enough. I want to talk to you today. If you're in that moment where you have had enough, you know, you get highs and lows in life. And I, you know, I can totally relate to what Elijah has gone through in this. The mighty miracle, you would think that he was so confident. I mean, he's just seen fire fall down. But one word of death means that he runs away. Have you ever been in that moment? Have you ever had that moment where you just think, you know what, I'm done. It's too hard. I can't do this anymore, God. You know, I trained as an opera singer. I know you don't believe that, but it's true. I used to wear tights and makeup and dance around. I used to do that in operas as well. Joke. And I used to sing this moment, and Mendelssohn wrote an oratorio, Elijah, and this moment is in there, and I used to sing this moment. And if you really, I mean, I don't know, you probably don't want me to sing it, but Yeah. You don't. Okay, I will do. It goes like this. I'm sorry, my voice is shot, so. It is enough. Oh, Lord, now take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. One word of death. One word. Hey, Elijah, I'm going to take you down. You know, on this journey that we have to change the world, because we're not a church that's going to be on the back, we're going to be on the front lines. This journey that we have to bring freedom to all humanity, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is a hard journey. You know, it's not all the highs of life. We get these moments. And I want to talk to you just out of an experience I had a couple of years ago. You know, we were trying to set up our third office in the UK, and each one of our offices, these regional offices that are rescue hubs, they cost about $400,000 a year. And we decided that we would do a fundraiser to try and raise the $400,000. And, you know, we decided, you know, we got around a table, some of my friends, and we were like, what should we do? Someone suggested a run. I said, that's nasty. Who likes running? Stupid people. No, I'm only kidding. Bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Boom. I said, you know what we should do? We should cycle, because I like cycling. I used to cycle when I was 12 years old. So let's do it. And then we were like, yeah, let's do it, you know, because I've been in like a room full of guys. You kind of like get a little bit excited sometimes. Yeah, let's do it. Now. Yeah. And then one of us said, should we cycle the whole of England? And I was like, nah, that's boring. Well, we should cycle the journey of Zoe. Because we were going to call the hub. We call the offices after girls that we've rescued. First one was Emma's hub. This one was going to be Zoe's hub. I was like, yeah, we should do the journey of Zoe. She was trafficked from Latvia to Southampton, England. Now, at that point in time, I thought, like, Latvia was next to France. It's not. Turns out it's 40 miles away from Russia, which is 2,715 kilometers away. And by then, we'd already done a video and announced it to lots of people on social media, which means that, you know, the lesson you may deliver may be wise and true, but I'd prefer to learn my lessons from observing what you do. We had to do it. And so I got on, you know, we got sponsored. I got given, like, bikes. We were on, like, because of some of the people that were on the team, they were national celebrities. You know, we were on TV shows, and that had something called pressure. And we decided to do it, and we were trying to raise $400,000. And so we flew out. We took our bikes. I got given a $15,000 bike, got sponsored by ASOS. It was amazing. Like, I don't know if you are into cycling, but if you're not, it's not good. It's actually nasty. And you have to wear, like, Lycra, which, you know, thank the Lord Jesus, I have good legs. I know some of you have noticed that already. Look, it's only a sin to look twice. But Lycra reveals everything, and... you know what middle-aged men in Lycra are? Yeah, they're mammals, middle-aged men in Lycra. They're also, pray for them, they're going through some dark times in their life and they're dressing weird. And actually, I think cycling is a cult. And it is from the devil. You'll read that in scripture somewhere. So we get over to Latvia and we start the journey, right? And we get through Latvia in a day and it's going well. We get through Lithuania and, like, we're getting through countries in a day. So I'm like, yes, this is awesome. Now, I want to tell you about vision, right? Like, the start is the most exciting part and the ending is the most, it's amazing, right? The actual trials and tribulations are always in the middle. You know, we got through to Poland. And I was like, I was cycling, and I was like, oh, gosh, you know, you get bored sometimes, you know, like, oh, gosh, it's just roads, you know. What else? Rhodes House, Grass Road. You know, oh gosh. Then I look down and I see a wild wolf dribbling, obviously hungry. Suddenly I find my motivation. I like cycling again. Oh, come on. In Jesus' name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Phew. I like cycling. Looking good in my Lycra. Anyway, so then we get to Germany, and Germany is right in the middle of our journey. And like, we go around this corner, I'll never forget it. Go around this corner, and then I see what I can only describe as a mountain. And this mountain is like, I know, it's not good when you're cycling to get a mountain. And this mountain is like 3,000 foot high. Now, just so you know, Everest is 27,000 foot. So I'm looking at it, and like, we stopped just at the bottom to have lunch, and the guy who's in charge of the route, I say to him, hey, dude, there's a road, we're going round the mountain. Said, nope, we're going over it. I'm going, oh, cool. At that point in time, a guy comes to me with a camera, and he, the camera of the mountain, he says, Ben, tell me what's on your heart. Dude, you don't want to know what's on my heart. I got nasty thoughts on my heart, so. He says, go on, share your heart. I say, all right. Camera, mountain. Faith can move a mountain. Let the mountains move. Try the Darlene Check move. If faith can move. Do you know, I'm convinced God doesn't always move the mountains. Sometimes he defines you by them. I believe sometimes you come across these mountains in your life, and there's so many Christians that sat at the bottom of the mountain saying, God, would you move it? God, I'm believing for this mountain to move. Sometimes I believe God wants you to climb that mountain to realize you are stronger than you think you are. That you've been thinking thoughts that aren't godly thoughts. You've been thinking, I can't. It's impossible. Let me tell you, impossible is just a big word thrown around by small-minded men who find it easier to live in a world that they've been given rather than to explore the power they have to change it. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing. Impossible is a death. I'm telling you now, you've got to start changing your thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Your thinking affects your attitude. Your attitude determines the course of your life. Your thinking is so powerful. How do you think about, what do you think about yourself? You know, when I saw that mountain, all I started thinking was, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. And like, guess what? If I kept on thinking like that, I would never climb a mountain. But my friend said to me, Ben, you got this. You got this. He's not American, but I was just doing your accent just to make you feel at home. You're welcome. Amen. God is so good. Worship him all the time. Now, you're stronger than you think you are. How do we get to the top of the mountain? One pedal at a time. How are we going to see the end of slavery? One life at a time. Come on, church, we've got to start thinking better. You are not just a nobody. You represent the kingdom of heaven. It says in Hebrews that this kingdom will never be shaken. You're a co-heir in that. Come on, start. You are royalty. Start thinking like it. You can conquer that mountain. You got this. Right, a few days later, right, my body started breaking. Now, I know you think I'm a very strong, ripped individual. And I hope I'm not causing too many to stumble, but I got to a point in Germany where I was going up this particular mountain, and the mountain was like this. And like my legs were burning so badly, I was crying in pain. I was 30 at the time, called out for my mommy. You're in a dark place when you call out for your mommy at 30 years old. Particularly when I was sick in my thumb, I thought, I have broken myself then. And I'm climbing up this mountain, and I was ready to give up. I was under that tree. I was, you know, as many times in the ministry I felt like giving up. I felt isolated, lonely. I was up this mountain and I was reminded of Numbers 10, where Moses, like, God asked him to do something, and just the weight of it is too much, and it, like, he just kind of goes, I can't do it, God. Did I give birth to them? I'm done, you know? I just can't do it. And God says, I get it. Hey, actually, Moses, I get it. He says, hey, take some of the leaders that are known to you and bring them to me. And I'll take some of the same spirit that is on you and I'll put it on them, and they'll help you carry the load. You know, I was just about to give up. The pain was too much. I didn't have it in me. And just as I was about to stop pedaling, I felt a hand on my shoulder. It was my mate Jim. And I felt this other hand on my shoulder, and it was my mate Gav. And they were pushing me up the mountain, one-handed. You know, I'm convinced by this, church, some mountains aren't meant to be climbed alone. They're meant to be climbed with others. That's why the Bible says, do not forsake meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, because isolation isn't good for you. You weren't meant to be alone. You were meant to be with the brotherhood of believers. Can I say something about the UK culture? And I don't know if it's the same here, but we have this terrible culture of trying to keep people small. You know, there's phrases that have been spoken over my life saying, hey, don't encourage him because he'll get proud. Or, hey, don't encourage him, he'll get a big head, he won't be able to walk out the building. You know, the Bible says God opposes the proud. Last time I checked, you weren't God. It actually gives us the instruction of encourage one another daily. I pray that the church is one of the most encouraging places on the face of the planet, that we stand shoulder to shoulder with each other in the fight for freedom, the cause of Christ, which is the greatest cause on planet Earth, that we stand shoulder to shoulder, we put our hands on each other's back and saying, we're with you. We're with you. What you're walking through, we are with you. Can I say, do not isolate yourself. It's one of the, you leave yourself vulnerable. You leave yourself weaker than you can be when you stand shoulder to shoulder. This is what church is about. I'm telling you, some of your friends right now need to get in this church and they need to get the support of one another. Bring them here. Fill the seats. Because we need to encourage one another daily. You know, a few days later, after this, we were still in Germany because it turns out Germany is massive. Check on Google Maps, it's ridiculous. The weather changes and it's raining all the time. And like, at one point in time we stop and they say, I don't know if Ben can carry on, we think he might get hypothermia. I was shivering, at this time I was being sick 9 times a day. I couldn't keep water down, I couldn't keep like food down. I was like, I just couldn't do it. I was at the end of myself. You ever been there? I was sat under the tree and I was going, God, that's it. This is it. And I have had, I tell you, I'm not exaggerating. I've had many times in the work of justice, I've had many times where I've wanted to give up, like countless times. You know, people look at someone that stands on a platform or they look at the videos or you look at your life and they go, wow, wouldn't it be awesome to be you? But actually the cost that, I don't mean this to boast, the cost to me personally has been great. I remember this one time where like a phone call was made to my office and this man who was involved in the sex industry said, hey, Ben's kids go to a great school, don't they? You want to tell him, I know where his kids are. Can you imagine what that feels like? I mean, I said to God that day, hey, God, I said I would pay the cost. You keep my kids out of this, God. You ever been in that moment where you sat under a tree and gone, I am done? Well, I was there, and I was cycling this day, and I was like, I was drained. And I was physically sick. I just couldn't do it anymore, and I sat under that tree. And I said, I'm done. And I stopped pedaling. And just as I'd stopped pedaling, my friend Tommy started shouting at me. He noticed I'd stopped pedaling. And he said, Ben! I was like, what, man? I'm done. I finished now. I can't do it. This is such a hard journey. This is costing me everything, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I can't get past it. He said, Ben, have you seen the town that we're cycling through? I was like, what? He said, look up. Look at the town. I was like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. He said, Ben, look up at the town that we're cycling through. And I look up, bleary-eyed, and I see this sign. Ben, it's our turn. It's our time and our turn, Ben. We're the generation to see the end of slavery. It's our time and our turn. Don't you forget who you're doing it for, Ben. You're doing it for Zoe. You're doing it for Emma. You're doing it for the children. Don't you dare. And I say this to you prophetically. Don't you dare forget who you're cycling for. You know, Zoe was trafficked from Latvia to Southampton. And she arrived at this hotel. And she was met by this man who took her up to one of the rooms. And he presented her some underwear. She said, no, I'm not here to do that sort of work. I'm here to do a legitimate job. This man smiled at her, laughed at her, and he said, no, no, you'll do who I tell you to do, and you'll do them when I tell you to do. And he walks out, and 10 men walk in. And there begins Zoe's nightmare, where she's trafficked from man to man, town to town. So bad was the abuse that she decided she would end her life. And she stood at the apartment block window, and she looked out onto the street, and she jumped. But she didn't die. She burst her leg. And the trafficker walked out that building, walked down every single flight of stairs. He saw this girl screaming in agony. He grabbed her by the hair, dragged her back into the building, dragged her up every single flight of stairs and shoved her back on the bed for the next man to walk in. You know, our team built up a rapport with this girl for months, weeks and months. And this girl, she got to a point where basically she couldn't trust anyone. Like anyone, like every single person had let her down. And we got her into this car and we were gonna take her to this aftercare, but she didn't know whether to trust us or not. And she grabbed one of my investigator's hands and she said, I don't know if this is real or not. I don't know if I can trust you or not, but I have one request and one request only, that tonight you don't abuse me. I just need a night off. You know, we take her to this safe place, this home, and she realizes it's not a brothel, it's an aftercare facility, a place where she can regain her strength and her hope and her dignity. And she turns to my team member and says, it's real, isn't it? It's real. Tonight I'm not going to get abused. He says, yeah, Zoe, it's real. And this girl bursts into floods of tears, sobbing like 1,000 abuses had left her. And then he says these words over her life. You know what, Zoe? You're a princess. You're a daughter of the king. She's sobbing and sobbing. And then he hears these whispers. I'm a princess. I'm a princess. You know, my friends, I know that you may be sat under that tree today. You may be thinking, I can't do anything. I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough resource. That's a lie. You're royalty. You might think, well, I can't do anything. I'm isolated. I tell you now, don't be isolated. Climb this mountain with others. But I believe I'm here to give you a revelation, and I hope this is something that you take away from today. The church, it is our time. And it is our turn. And that slavery must end. Poverty must end. Every soul needs the light of salvation of Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Go again. Go again. I know that you say, well, I've tried it in the past. I've tried it. I've tried it, Ben. I've tried it. Look, let me tell you this. Go again. Get up. Get up from that tree. Elisha isn't going to get the blessing if you don't get up from that tree. You've got to get up. Strengthen yourself. Start thinking how God thinks about you. Start joining with others, standing shoulder to shoulder, and realize that God has a purpose for your life. We are meant to be in that maintenance mode. Church, we are meant to be in maintenance mode. We are positioned right at the gates of hell. Let's smash them down and get every one of them. You know, my daughter, when she was 3 years old, she came up to me and she said, Dad, could I speak at one of your venture speaker? I said, Lily, you're 3 years old. She said, but Dad, could I speak at one of your venture speaker? I said, Lily, where do you get this from? I said, all right, Lily, go and tell me, what would you speak on? And Lily looks up at me with her bright blue eyes and her big chubby cheeks. And she says, rescuing princesses. My friends, that's what the church is meant to do. Rescue the princesses. Rescue the princesses and bring them into a place of comfort, a place of purpose, a place where they are cherished and they are loved. You want to know what church is about? It's about that. It's not about keeping a seat warm. It's about being the rescue arm of Jesus Christ. We're going to play one video, just if we can play the long video, not the short video. And I just wanted to thank you so much for all that you do for God's kingdom. You are heroes in my eyes. Thank you for keeping on. But if you are in that place today, we're going to have prayer stations at the end where you can get ministered to. If you want to say, God, I need help with my thinking. Today, get it sorted. If you're like, I've isolated myself. Today, get it sorted. And if you forgot your purpose, the why behind your what, I want to say, God, he's going to speak to you today. He's going to give you vision. Because where there is vision, people flourish in God's house. Thank you so much. I hope I get to come back one day and to bless and to work in partnership with you because you're amazing people. Please watch the screens.
You know those truly great stories? The ones that explode in our childish imaginations, ones that plant themselves deep in our minds and grow into our dreams. Well, I have an invitation for you to write your life as an epic tale of heroes. And oh, how it is one for the ages. It is the story of how we ended slavery. How can we do anything other then pen the final chapter, when across those pages is written freedom. In our story, every man, woman, and child languishing in the brutal despair of slavery is set free. Free to run and breathe and shout and dream. Free to tread the well-worn path to a familiar front door. Free to retell the same stories to old friends and to laugh again. Yes, this is a story worth writing. Others began it. They felt the weight of history and wanted to tell their children honestly. We reached out to those who were cast aside. And when we saw their vision of freedom, we threw ourselves into this story. We were drawn to stand and fight. We began to celebrate the lives reclaimed. And each time, we glimpsed our preferred future. Because with every advance we make, the end of slavery rushes closer. So today, what is possible when we stand together resounds from the pages of our book. And all of us who are authoring freedom ask you to add your lines. Together, let us write abolition.
Can we give Ben and Hope for Justice a big hand? Come on, let's tell them about our love and appreciation for that mission, that purpose, that cause. Excellent. What a word. Thank you, Ben. Keep doing what you're doing.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.